Good morning. My name is Regina, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Report on Public Finances and Public Debt for the Second Quarter of 2010 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the conference over to Miguel Messmacher. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everybody. As several of you know, Alejandro and Gerardo were in Shanghai yesterday, so they can't be with us in the call. I'll be giving the introductory remarks on economic activity and public finances, and Marco Oviedo, Deputy General Director of DEP, will be giving the introductory remarks on the side of public debt. Let me just briefly remind our friends from the press that this call is off the record. Without going into the details of the report, which you already have and you've all received the bulletin, let me just sort of highlight some of the main macro developments during the second quarter of the year. If we actually look at, and this information will be slightly different from what's in the bulletin, if you look at sort of the sequential evolution of activity during the second quarter of the year, that is, if we look at the monthly cumulative growth rate, they basically gave us sequential growth during the second quarter of the year for manufacturing exports of 1.8% non-annualized. That would be close to 7.2% annualized. So clearly, the dynamism in terms of manufacturing exports continued in a very important way. In terms of other indicators that we already have for the second quarter as a whole, if we look at automobile production, it actually grew by 7.1% in non-annualized sequential terms between March and June of this year. And if we look at employment, which is the third big indicator that we have for the whole quarter as a whole, it actually grew by 1.4% in non-annualized terms during the second quarter of the year. So clearly, from the point of view of external demand and employment growth, there have been quite positive results during the second quarter of the year. We have partial results, for example, for Antas sales and Walmart sales in the second quarter of the year. The total sales grew in sequential terms by slightly more than 2%. That would again give us sequential growth in the quarter of about 8%, which suggests that already some informed recovery is taking place in terms of domestic demand. So overall, we continue to observe an informed process of recovery in the Mexican economy. Based on these numbers, our forecast for growth during the second quarter of the year is that growth will be approximately 7% during the second quarter of the year in annual terms. This actually implies very high quarterly growth rates of between 2.5 and 3% in non-annualized terms. So in annualized terms, we could be talking of sequential growth in the order of 10 to 12%. So overall, the results from the point of view of economic activity continue to be quite positive. Just a comment, we have not reviewed our forecast for the year of 4.1%. Clearly, that forecast implies, given the very strong growth that we have observed during the first semester of the year in the euro 5.6%, this forecast of 4.1% implies a very important deceleration taking place during the second half of the year, with growth of about 2.8% in order to get the 4.1% for the year as a whole. Clearly, we think that there is a significant upside with respect to that forecast. And in that respect, in spite of the recent bad news about the U.S. economy, and in particular with a negative surprise in terms of economic growth during the second quarter of the year, we remain fairly comfortable with our forecast of 4.1%, which even in this sort of potentially more uncertain environment in the U.S. actually remain a fairly conservative policy. Moving then to the part on public finances, there are three major points which I would like to emphasize in terms of the results for the first semester of the year. The first one is that the evolution of the public balance as a whole has been perfectly consistent with the public sector balance that has been approved and that is expected for this year. In fact, given that there is some lag in terms of expenditures and that revenues are slightly above program, actually public balances are significantly better than what was originally envisaged for the program in this year. What we're expecting is clearly that expenditures will accelerate somewhat during the second half of the year so that we end up with a public sector balance that's similar to the one approved by Congress. But obviously the results so far are perfectly in line with what we're observing during, with what was approved in Congress. A second element that I would like to highlight is that revenues overall are showing a positive performance. Revenues with respect to the previous year are showing a relatively modest growth rate of 0.9%, but within oil revenues are growing by almost 10%, while non-oil tax revenues are growing by slightly more than 12%. What explains the relatively small level of the annual growth rate is the fact that we had very important non-recurrent revenues during last year. If you remember, we had revenues of 95 billion pesos during the first semester of 2009, which obviously we did not receive during this year. But obviously this was incorporated into our projections of revenues for the year. With respect to programs, oil revenues are above what was originally envisaged in the program by about 16.5 billion pesos. Non-oil tax revenues are slightly below program by about 4.6 billion pesos, while non-oil non-tax revenues are also slightly below program, given the fact that we have some delay in terms of some auctioning of assets, including CFP fiber optic network and the auction of additional radio spectrum frequencies, but which, as you know, has gone ahead and where we will be observing the revenues during the second half of the year. So overall, for the year as a whole, we're anticipating that revenues should finish slightly above program, but clearly we do not want at this point to think that we'll be having very large excess revenues, given some of the uncertainty that there still is in the international environment. From the point of view of expenditures, as I mentioned, there has been an important containment of expenditure and there have been some slight delays. Overall expenditures are growing at 1% with respect to the previous year. Within programmable expenditures are declining by about 1.9%. This is due to several different effects. On the one hand, there has been a very important containment in terms of personal expenditures. And as you know, there was an announcement of additional austerity measures during the year that have already started to take place, with an advance in those austerity measures of about 50% in the first semester of the year. One second factor is that in the first half of last year, we actually accelerated in a very significant way expenditures as part of the countercyclical policies that were adopted. With that, I will finish my intervention and pass the word to Marco.
Thank you, Miguel. As you know, we are facing extraordinary conditions in the financial market, in which emerging markets are being benefited due to our reassessment of risk. Mexico is no exception. In that context, we are aiming of obtaining the necessary resources to fund the deficit to the best conditions. And the idea is to at least issuing in gross terms the short-term facilities and financing most of the deficit with long-term fixed rate funds. With that, we think we can improve some of our indicators, basically average maturity of the domestic debt, in this first half of the year has increased 0.11 years, going from 6.34 years to 6.45 years from the end of 2009 to the second quarter of 2010. And also the share of long-term fixed rate government securities has increased from 55.3% to 56.3% in the same period. Also, as you know, Citigroup formally announced the inclusion of the Mexican government fixed rate bonds to the world government bond index starting in October. This is very important since Mexico will be the first Latin American market including this index. And there has been some estimations of the increase of foreign participation into our market, which goes from 12 to 20 billion pesos. So far this year, we have been observing an increase of that participation. We are in a historical maximum of 327 billion pesos, an increase of almost 90 million pesos during the year. And this is very good news for us. And we think that in the medium term, this will improve the performance of our market and reduce interest rates in the medium term. In terms of operations, as you know, we issue $1 billion in the capital market with a reopening of our global bond with maturity of 30 years. And in the domestic side, we are continuing doing a bond exchange operation, not nominal fixed rate bonds and its bonus, in order to manage the yield curve in pesos and improving the liquidity of these bonds. We will continue doing external operations new opportunities appear. We have a $1.5 billion of amortization for next year, and it would be wise to refund those the rest of the year. We will see how things continue to behave. In terms of balances, federal government net debt stood at 24.9% of GDP, 0.1 point higher than that observed in the end. And from this amount, 4.8% of GDP corresponds to external debt and 21% to the domestic economy. Also, public sector debt, which includes public entities under budgetary control and development banks, stood at 3.2% of GDP, from which 30.9% is domestic debt and 9.3% is external debt, and implies an increase of 0.1 percentage points with respect to the one observed at the end of 2009. And finally, our broader definition of debt, which is the historical balance of public sector borrowing requirements, amounted to 34.3% of GDP, an amount that is 0.1 percentage points lower to the one observed at the end of 2009. There have been some positive effects from the GDP growth and the appreciation of the exchange rate. And with that, I finish and I leave the floor for any questions.
Operator?
Yes.
Yes. So we finish the introduction section. We can move on to the question and answer session.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, to ask any questions, please press star 1. Your first question comes from Leopoldo Pimentencia. Your line is open.
Thank you. Hi, Marco. Hi, Miguel. Thank you for hosting this conference. I have just a couple of questions. There's a noise on the line, so I hope you can listen to this. On the report, you mentioned a delay of 7.2 billion pesos that you expect to receive in the second quarter or in the second half of the year. Could you offer some guidance on this, on the situation in specific? And the second question is, you also mentioned the incorporation of Mexico in the World Bond Index of Citigroup. So do you have a rough estimate on how much money can may enter to a country from this situation, particular situation. And we know that so far in the year, about 19 billion pesos the foreign holdings and Mexican debt have increased about 90 billion pesos. But how much of this amount should we expect to increase over the rest of the year? So more related to the situation. Thank you.
Sorry, we got the second question, but we had a little bit of problems with the line on the first question. Could you repeat it?
Problem. And the second question is more related to...
No, the first question.
The first question. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, well, the first question is about a 7.2 billion, a delay of government revenues or non-tax revenues that you mentioned in the quarterly report that you expect the government may receive in the second half of the year. So could you offer for us some guidance on this amount? How do you expect this amount to be received?
On the first question, and I'll pass the second question on to Marco. If you remember, there was a significant amount of resources which was approved in the budget of last year in terms of non-recurring revenues that we would be obtaining for this year. Now, as you know, for example, there were some delays, just to give you some examples, there were some delays in sales of assets during the first half of the year. Several of these resources were programmed originally to be received during the first half of the year, but we had some delays, as you know, when, for example, the auctions of additional radio spectrum frequency that just concluded actually in July. While originally we were envisaging that, for example, we would be getting those resources during the first half of the year. So clearly in that respect, there has just been a temporary delay, and we're expecting to be obtaining those revenues during the second half of the year, and some of them have actually even already materialized. With that, let me turn over the second question to Marco.
Yes, it's very hard for us to know to what extent there's this week the effect on the income that we're facing, because there have been a lot of positive factors. The inflation premium is lower, inflation is lower than expected. The economic activity premium also is lower, given the great performance, the good performance of the economy. And also this with the effect and the assessment of risk in general in emerging markets. We are working on the estimation. As I mentioned, analysts have estimated between 12 and 20 million pesos, but probably more on that. We're working on that number. But so far, as I mentioned, 90 million has been totally.
Does that complete the question? Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Yamina Zuminga.
Hi, thanks a lot for the presentation. I have, if possible, maybe 3 questions. One is whether you can provide a little bit of color on the prospects for 2011, in particular whether there's any truth to the notion that has floated in the press regarding the possibility of an additional tax reform that would this time address the issue of broadening the tax base. The second question has to do with the stabilization funds and whether there have been resources used from the funds or added into the funds this year, and what's the current balance of the funds. And the third question is whether you can comment on subnational finances, given that the states were having a little bit of trouble during the crisis, and I was wondering how the situation presumably has improved, but how the outlook is, and in particular, whether you anticipate regulated prices in subnational states to increase. And sorry, if I can, a fourth question, which is your outlook for administered prices in the coming quarters and 2011.
Sure, Jimena. On tax reform, as you know, from a macro point of view, given the reform that was approved last year, we actually do not need to make additional fiscal adjustments in order to guarantee a sustainability of public finances, and in particular, a decline in the ratio of levels of debt to GDP for coming years. In fact, as you know, originally we had envisaged that there would be a slight increase in the levels of debt, but given debt to GDP during 2010, but given the higher growth and the appreciation of the exchange rate, we could even end up observing stable levels of debt in 2010. In fact, we might not even see any increases there, and we could actually end up, if conditions remain favorable, with no changes in the level of debt to GDP in 2010 in spite of the deficit that we have, and then have a declining trajectory going forward. Obviously, we are in the best position to discuss with other parties in Congress, and in particular with the PRI, the possibility of improving the tax structure. I mean, clearly from a macro point of view, it's not necessary to undertake additional reforms, but clearly there are several margins where we could have significant improvement in terms of the tax structure. Now, the issue is that the CRI hasn't finished yet to sort of analyze, in a sense, what are the implications of the results of the midterm, sort of the elections that we observed in July. What are the implications on that, on the strategy that the PRI is going to be following forward? So in that respect, the PRI hasn't yet finished establishing what the interests are going to be forward, but we're going to be sort of with our feelers out, and if we see any possibility to actually improve that top structure, given willingness by the PRI, we will try to go ahead and do something. But it will depend in the end on some of the adjustments that take place during the PRI and which are still occurring, and what turns out to be sort of the strategy that they define for the next parliamentary period. In terms of the stabilization fund, we have not observed excess revenues to be allocated to the stabilization fund in the year so far. So they have not received resources from that part. Basically, what they have obtained in the case of the stabilization fund of the federal government, it has increased slightly, but basically its financial returns. The stock in the stabilization fund of the federal government as of June was 26.6 billion pesos. In the case of the stabilization fund of the state, the stock is 6.2 billion pesos. The stabilization fund of the state did receive 2.6 billion pesos, not from general excess revenues, but from an extraordinary royalty, which we call the Derecho Extraordinario de Exportación de Petróleo, which is charged when the oil price is above the one on the budget. Now, if you remember, the state actually did a financial operation last year where they actually asked for they borrowed resources to actually compensate for part of the reduction in shared revenues last year. And basically, these 2.6 billion pesos were allocated to start amortizing that debt that the state obtained. In the case of the stabilization fund of Pemex, there has been use of resources by 19 billion pesos. If you remember, in the budget of last year, we were originally envisaging that we were going to be using 45 billion pesos from the stabilization fund this year in order to make up for these resources non-recurrent revenues to support the revenue this year, and 20 billion of those have already been taken out of the stabilization fund of FEMEX. Therefore, the stock at the end of June 2010 stands at 11.1 billion pesos. And then finally, the fund for to support pension fund restructuring, we haven't taken any resources from there. And basically, the stock has just increased due to financial returns, where the stock as of June 2010 stands at 59.3 billion pesos. Moving on to subnational financing, the improvement has been very significant with respect to last year. If you look at the increase in shared revenues going to state governments during the first half of this year, they're actually growing by almost 20% in real terms. So there has been a very significant recovery in terms of the resources going to the state. When you consider other expenditures that are being transferred to the state through decentralization agreements, subsidies, and so on, the overall increase in resources going to the state is in the order of 6.6%. So overall, the states are in a significantly better position than they were last year. Finally, regarding administered prices, we're going to be maintaining the policy that we have had during the year with increases in administered prices more or less in the first or second Saturday of each month, which is basically consistent with what we have originally envisaged in the budget. For next year, we will obviously maintain this policy. In reality, we have maintained this policy for the last 18 years, with the sole exception being 2009, when we increased domestic prices. So in that respect, we will be maintaining a goal for administered gasoline, diesel prices, gas, etc. In the budget for 2011. Obviously, the exact amount we will announce when we present the budget.
Thank you.
And at this time, there are no further questions.
Could you ask just one last time, operator?
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. There is a question from the line of Vitaly Mishulam.
Hi, Miguel. Hi, Marco. Thank you so much for the call. I was wondering if you could comment briefly on what's been happening with Lucy Fuerza and if the net present value savings that you had forecast initially are beginning to manifest themselves. And then also, if you've seen the effect that you thought you were going to have with respect to the tax changes that were made earlier this year, if again, the changes that you had forecast initially are in fact beginning to come to fruition. Thanks.
Sure. Regarding Lucy Fuerza, obviously, all the savings from the point of view of expenditures we've observed. I mean, clearly, let's say, everybody who was working in Lucy Fuerza before the liquidation is no longer working there. So clearly from the point of view of the efficiency and the expenditure side, we have observed, we've fully observed by now the efficiency improvement that we were expecting. CSC is having a slight delay in terms of sort of regularizing and increasing the efficiency in terms of revenue. Originally, CSE was anticipating that they would be able to very quickly increase charges on electricity, but not in terms of tariffs, but rather in terms of better compliance and better revenue collection. But there has been some delay given the differences between sort of the system that CFE had, the fact that Lucy Fuerza had a horrible system which really was not consistent with that. In CFE, CFE has also needed to make some investments in new infrastructure. And for example, install new meters for electricity consumption, given that a lot of the...
Okay, it appears as though we have lost the main speaker line. Everyone, if you'll just hold one moment while I get them back on the line. One moment, please. Is now reconnected. You may resume with your question.
Hi, sorry about that. For some reason, we got disconnected. So as I was saying, basically, from the point of view of expenditures, we've already observed all of the efficiency improvements that we were expecting, but we're observing some delay in terms of improvement in revenue collection. But what we're expecting is that by the end of the year, probably the situation should normalize. Then, from the point of view of the revenue collection from different items that were approved for this year, I would say that there are, for most of the elements, collection has been perfectly consistent with what we anticipated. For example, from the point of view of VAT tax collection, we're observing levels that are perfectly consistent, in fact, somewhat above what we had originally envisaged. From the point of view of personal and corporate income taxes associated with the increases in tax rates, this is also the case. From the point of view of most of the increases in excise taxes as a whole, we're observing also results that are consistent with what was originally envisaged. Even though within excise taxes, we're doing better in terms of tobacco excise taxes and the effect of the increase in tobacco excise taxes, and we're doing slightly worse than what was originally envisaged in terms of excise taxes on telecommunications. The one big item where we seem to have observed lower revenues than what were originally envisaged was, if you remember, one of the components of the reform was a measure to make firms that consolidate revenues within a group to actually have to pay part of the deferred taxes that they had consolidated within the group. In the end, what seems to have happened is that several of the groups that originally consolidated actually deconsolidated at the end of last year. And that partly explains, if you remember, we had a much better level of revenues at the end of last year, particularly November and December. And apparently what happened is that some firms, such as, for example, Limbo, who actually consolidated, actually decided to disaggregate and deconsolidate, pay the tax that corresponded with a lower income tax rate, and therefore they are not making the payments that were originally envisaged to be made during June of this year. So in general terms, everything has come out more or less as we expected, even though in terms of excise taxes, some of The composition has not been exactly the one that we anticipated, but the overall revenues are more or less in line with what we originally envisaged. The measure of consolidation has apparently, but we need to continue analyzing the numbers, given that the revenues were anticipated to be approved in June. So we just have the results and we need to continue analyzing them. Apparently, what did happen in that case is that some firms actually did make payments, but they actually anticipated them to the end of 2007.
Thank you.
And once again, for any questions, please press star 1. And at this time, there are no further questions.
Thank you very much, everybody. And please, as always, if you have any additional questions or comments, please let us know at the Investor Relations Office. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.